I on? There I am. No, I'm not Pastor Jeff. But I am related to him. good morning to all of you. We are so happy that you are here this morning. Jeff is taking the weekend to just have some fun and relax without me. And not that we wouldn't enjoy it together too, but he is off enjoying some time with some good friends, and I'm happy that he has the ability to do that. And so we welcome our guest speaker this morning too, Reverend Anne Marie Carley. She will be delivering our message for us this morning. Just wanted to draw your attention to some announcements here. There is a special Stevens Ministry Network presentation this afternoon. You can check that out in here if that is something you are interested in. Mary and Martha meet tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m., so don't forget to come out for Mary and Martha. Let's see, we have a couple announcements of some things that people that we're in need of help from. We are looking for a new newsletter creator. I want to give a shout out to Jackie, who has done this for 30 years for us, and she has decided to retire from it. So yes, please give her a big thank you. She has been so gracious to do that for so long, and so thank you very much to her. But now we are in need of somebody else who might be willing to help with that. So if you are interested or and able, you can either see Deb in the office during the week or contact Pastor Jeff. We're also looking for a nursery worker. So if that is something that you would be interested in doing or know of somebody who would be, please contact the Pastor Jeff for that as well. Missions Committee is going to be presenting a ham loaf dinner on Saturday, November 8th. So please make note of that, and you can reserve your space for that dinner. And last but not least, I want to invite Lucy up. She has an announcement she would like to make.
Hi, everybody. I'm just going to... Is this on? Really close? Oh, there we go. Okay. I'm just going to read this in an effort to be terse, because I can go on and on. So, the mission team would like to expand our participation in helping kids from Shawnee Elementary. And to that end, we have a new project called Coats for Shawnee Kids. And we ask for your help, your support, and your participation. So what we'd like is for everyone next Sunday, October 19th, to choose a child. We'll have the tags up on what we call the shoe tree, and the tags will have the grade, the sex, and the coat size, so that you can choose the age person you'd like to help. During the week, we ask that you please purchase a warm winter coat or jacket for the child. And then the following Sunday, October 26th, to please return the coat in a non-seasonal gift bag. And we ask that you attach the child's tag with it, and we will be providing yarn to help you do that. So don't worry about that part. And don't worry either about remembering all these instructions, because the team will provide instruction sheets with everything you need to know about the project. And again, thank you so much for your help in our effort to help a needy Shawnee child. We really appreciate it.
All right, now if you'll use this time to prepare ourselves for our service, our worship time.
Thank you.
If you will rise and join me in the call to worship. People of faith, come and see what God has done. See how God has protected us. Let us give glory to God. And let us sing praises to God, singing from the opening hymn, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. You can find that on page 57 in your hymnals and on the screen. Be seated. Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy God, we gather to sing your praises. We are grateful for the gift of this day and all the ways you make your presence known. We are grateful for your abiding spirit and the ways the spirit empowers us to be your people. In this time of worship, deepen our faith. Restore our souls and heal us. After we have spent time with you, return us to our community, that we may share your love and grace with everyone we meet. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Do we have any children that are going to come up this morning? Thank you. Is it working? There we go. I've been debating exactly what I was going to share with you this morning. So I wrote some notes down earlier at home. Does anybody want to guess at what the definition of faith is?
The believing of God.
The believing of God. Okay. Any other definitions? Believing in anything. Do we believe in things that we don't see? Sometimes. If I had this basket here and you couldn't see it, which you can, but and I said there was treats in it, would you believe me even if you couldn't see them? So that's kind of a faith in something. What about the word gratitude? What do you think gratitude means? Kind, okay. What else? be thankful. So gratitude, we be thankful. It's being kind, maybe being kind about something we received. So here's the definitions I looked up this morning. Faith involves trusting in a power greater than ourselves. A strong belief or trust in something or someone, often without proof. So it's believing in something we can't necessarily see, right? But can we see God in the world around us? Where do you see God? Through his acts, okay. What are some of his acts? Think about just walking out in nature. Do you see God present there? He helps people be kind to each other. That's some of it. Yep. Works in us to be kind. The colors that we see. Everything around us is proof of God's existence and some of what he does. So it's a power in something greater than ourselves. And then gratitude is a deep quality of being thankful or a readiness to show appreciation. So in the passage that Anne-Marie's going to share with us today, there were 10 lepers that are healed. And they just came to Jesus and said, show mercy on us. So in some ways, they had faith that he could heal them without any proof of it. And then he even said to them, now go to, he hadn't even healed them yet. And he said, well, go to the church. Show yourself in front of the priests. And they had enough faith to go ahead and do it without actually already being healed. But of the 10, one came back to show his gratitude, his deep appreciation to Jesus for the fact that he had been healed. So the two go hand in hand, faith and gratitude. And sometimes gratitude for us is just having an attitude of knowing that we've received without even seeing it. Does that make sense? It's kind of a hard thing to get our heads around. But faith and gratitude. And now I'm going to shift us to showing our faith and gratitude by being generous. And I've asked you guys, and thank you for being willing to pass the to get our coins for missions today. Let's have a prayer, and then you guys can, actually we'll do that the other way. Go ahead and do that, and then we'll come back and have a prayer over the money. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the ways that you work all around us, even when we can't see it. Help us to have faith in your power and to also show you every day our gratitude for the things that you do by being generous. Use this money to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we are going to sing our hymn of prayer. And that is, oh, we have scripture reading first. We've added little extra things today, so I got to pay more attention, huh? Let me read from Jeremiah 29:7. Make yourselves at home there and work for the country's welfare. Pray for Babylon's well-being. If things go well for Babylon, things will go well for you. And now let us sing our prayer hymn, His Name is Wonderful, number 174.
Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for meeting us here, for being with us in these moments, for being alongside us with our questions, and for allowing us to be together in this place this morning. We all come with a different story of the past week. Some of us have seen the mountaintops and are celebrating your goodness. Others have been in valleys and yet still celebrating your glory. God, we just ask that all of the prayers that are on our hearts at this time, you not only hear, but you bring healing. You bring fullness where there is lacking. You bring direction where there is seeking. And Lord, for all of those of us who are simply not sure what to pray, we are grateful that your Son Jesus taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now continue in our worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. God, we come to say thank you for all the ways you bring forth life and health and renewal. Bless these gifts that they may bring forth life and healing in our community. Amen.
You may be seated.
Oh, actually, don't.
I was just whiplash this morning, right? I am going to read from our gospel reading, Luke 17, 11 through 19. It happened that as he made his way toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up, on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
We'll try it again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you. If you are here this morning, right now, live and in person, or if you are watching this online, live right now, or if you decide to watch this later in the week, thank you. Thank you for joining us here this morning. And I'm not saying that as a offhand comment at all. Seriously, thank you for showing up. Sometimes half the battle is simply showing up. Is it not? Am I not the only person who has a difficult time sometimes deciding I'm gonna show up? Yeah? We are all human. But as an act of faith, you are here this morning because you believe that coming together as a part of this body is the nourishment your soul needs. I also know I'm not Pastor Jeff, so it probably would have been real easy to say, well, I don't know the preacher this week, so I'm just going to stay home. So thank you for being here, allowing me to worship with you and share what God has placed on my heart for all of those gathered today. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, thank you for meeting us where we are, for being able to be with us every step of the way. And in these next few moments, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and resonate with those who need to hear and embrace your words. In Jesus' name, amen. As mentioned, my name is Anne Marie Carley, and I am a deacon in the West Ohio Conference. Pastor Jeff is an elder. The difference between those two things is very small. Pastor Jeff is called to order the life of the church. This is the church. Amen? Deacons are called to compassion and justice, and oftentimes are a literal bridge between the church and the community. In my previous life, I was a middle school teacher and an elementary school principal, so you might see the teacher come out in me just a little bit today. I currently get to serve as the Director of Engagement with Children, Youth, and Young Adults for the Ohio Episcopal Area, which means both the west side of the state and the east side of the state. All 1,100 churches are my parish. No tall order at all. But I am your apportionment dollars at work this morning.
I am your apportionment dollars at work when I go across the state to visit with churches and young people to learn about what God is up to and how we might better be able to partner with God and God's mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Disciples that love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. Now, have any of you spent any time, and the young people in the room, I know you can answer yes to this, so you already have a gold star. But those of us who are not as young as you, maybe young at heart, have you spent any time with young people recently at a football game, at a grandparents' day, at preschool? Anybody spent any time around young people recently? Yeah? Okay, good, good. I was recently at a band competition for my niece, who's a senior in high school, and I kind of looked around and thought, boy, I feel old. you know, the way things are done, the words they are using, what they are wearing is vastly different than I was a little trombone player playing in the band. It's a little different than it was back then. I also have a nephew who's a freshman in college, and we have a week-long conversation. I say a week-long conversation because it's the same conversation. It just takes a whole week to have it via text anywhere between lunchtime and midnight. Those are normally when he'll respond. And if I send too many questions at one time, he won't ever respond. But this is his first time being away from home. It's his first time being out on his own. And I'm his auntie. And sometimes telling mom and dad isn't really what you want to do. So I want to be the aunt, the cool aunt, because he thinks I'm younger than his parents, and I'm not. I still want to be the cool auntie, right? So we have this week-long conversation that is about football. I don't know much about football. I like the Cincinnati Bengals, unfortunately. But I do learn so that I can have conversation with him. If he uses a word that I have no idea what it's actually supposed to mean these days, I look it up because it matters to him. It matters to him that I show up, that I learn his language, and that I want to be a part of his life. My husband and I went down to see him one Friday night, which is a 6-hour drive. And he actually was going to leave to go meet friends after we had dinner. But he took the time to have dinner with these two old fogies, right? Number one, he wanted real food, not cafeteria food. But he also had a good time catching up and telling us about this new life he finds himself in. Our scripture today kind of gives us an outline of what we should be doing if we want to engage children, youth, and young adults. Now, if you thought you were going to come here this morning and I was going to be able to give you this magic equation for what you need to do to engage young people today, you're going to be gravely disappointed. There is no one thing that you can do. There is no magic potion or pill or equation that makes it possible to have hundreds of children come into your doors, because that's simply just not how it works. It's not how it works. It's not how it works anywhere, really. And the church is no different. But our scripture today gives us an outline for what we can begin to do if we want to engage young people. The first is a scripture that I understand shouldn't be new to you, because Suzanne used it a couple weeks ago. The passage in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah tells the Israelites You might not like where you are right now, but guess what? If you pray for the people that are in your community and you want them to do well, your life will also be well. How many of you can pray? Yeah? Yeah. Every hand should go up. We can all pray. That is all something we can do, right? Pray. That's not hard. If you want to engage young people today, you have to pray for them. You have to be in the spaces where they are and pray for them. Show up for them. Learn their language. Not judge them. Not wonder why they don't come. You can wonder, but maybe ask them. A couple of summers ago, I spent the summer talking with young people at different events all over Ohio. The number one reason young people didn't come to church, nobody asked them. Nobody asked them. Right? The number one thing they needed more of in their life was two parts. Somebody to listen to them and somebody to ask questions to. And those were two very different people. We've all lived a bit of life, right? We have some answers, some wisdom. And part of being a faith-filled community is knowing that when the body is at work and is growing in God's grace and love, others who might look different than us, sound different than us, and have different backgrounds than us, make the kingdom better. Amen. So if you want to engage young people, pray for them. Be in the spaces where they are. Want what's best for them. Don't judge their parents for not bringing them on Sunday morning. Do you know how many parents actually work on Sunday morning? One of my best friends, her stories is that she wouldn't know anything about Jesus if it wasn't for her grandma, because her parents are first responders. They worked on Sunday mornings. And she's not necessarily a young person anymore either. So we're talking, that was reality 30 years ago. The reality hasn't got much better for families today. Sometimes Sunday morning is the only time families have to have a family unit. And if church, going to worship on Sunday mornings, hasn't been a part of the normal practice, it's not going to all of a sudden one day be a normal practice. Because nobody's invited them. In a way that they understand because it's in their language. The next scripture that we hear from today is about Jesus healing the lepers. Now, what we have to know about this passage is that there were 10 people to start with, right? 10. And they were lepers. They were unclean. And we know that at least one of them was a Samaritan. Now, these 10 people who approached Jesus with faith, saying, "Have mercy on us. Heal us." Would have never, ever, ever, ever thought of going to the synagogue. Because they were not welcome in the synagogue. Not only were they unclean, they were from somewhere else, is what the scripture implies. So they weren't welcome. Nobody invited them. And Jesus did the inviting. He said, "Go at once to the synagogue." And then there was this one, I'm guessing the rest of the group might have thought, crazy person, right? Because he didn't go with the flow and go to the synagogue. He stopped and turned around. He was so grateful that he turned around to be in relationship with Jesus. That's where we're going to focus our time on, is the one that turned back. And Suzanne talked about it with the kids a little bit, the difference about what does it mean to be grateful. And according to Grammarly, which is, y'all use Grammarly? I'm looking at the kids now. Grammarly, yeah, see, it's a thing. That wasn't what I used. It is a thing. That was one of the conversations I had with my nephew this week. Look it up on Grammarly. Okay. So, according to Grammarly, gratitude, being grateful, suggests a deeper, more profound sense of appreciation rooted in a lasting emotional state, whereas thankful implies a more immediate situational expression of thanks for specific benefit or relief. So, I'm thankful we have roads that made it easy for me to get here from Columbus today. I don't have this deep sense of gratitude for the roads. I have a deep sense of gratitude for the people who spent time designing those roads and making it possible. But there's a difference between gratitude and thankful. I am grateful for my family and oftentimes don't say thank you enough. You can be thankful and not have gratitude. But you can't have gratitude and not be thankful. As people of Christ, our gratitude should come from a deep, deep well of knowing that our faith, even if the size of a mustard seed, is enough. Because it's not about us, it's about God. Jesus is the one that does the saving, not us. Jesus simply asks us to partner with God in the mission. Oftentimes, if we're talking to people we don't know, if we're talking about going to places where we look different than everybody else, it can be scary. It can feel overwhelming. It can have us defensive. But if we go with a grateful heart, we have a different posture. It is easy to be grateful when we're gathered here as a body, right? We're grateful to be able to worship. We're grateful for the music. We're grateful for the people in this space. But when we leave these doors and go out into the community, do we always keep that attitude of gratefulness? Sometimes it's really easy to leave that gratefulness behind when there's traffic, or when somebody is in front of you at the grocery store and they're taking too long. Right? And here's the thing. How did you learn about faith? How did you learn about faith? You're allowed to talk back. Someone shared it with you. Right? Someone invited you. Jesus invited the leper and he turned around and gave thanks to Jesus. And he had a deeper relationship. Not only was he cleaned, he was saved. He was saved. Jesus showed him the way. Think of the person who helped you understand faith. I thank God for grandparents. Amen. My parents might not have the same view of their parents as I have of their parents. Grandparents are such a gift. My grandparents were a gift to me and my faith. One of my favorite pictures is at my baptism. My grandparents and great-grandparents are there. It's the only picture I have with all of them in one place. And I know that their prayers for me have been answered time and time again. The prayers that they prayed at my baptism that I would understand my faith for myself came true. And that is what you as a church do anytime there's a baby who's baptized. You vow to the parents that you will do all that you can to make sure that child grows in faith and love so that they might know Jesus as their Lord and Savior themselves. We don't know when that's going to happen. We never know when that's going to happen. It's not up to us. We'd probably mess it up if it was up to us. So thanks be to God, it's not up to us. But that is the same type of prayer we should have for any young person that is in our sphere or outside of it. Those coats that you're going to bring, pray for whoever that coat is going to keep warm. That small act of faith of providing something might be a seed that is planted. You never know. But go farther than that. Maybe spend some time around the elementary school simply praying for those kids, for their families. Because you pray, when you pray with the attitude of gratitude, you eliminate the judgment. Anybody else sometimes have judgment? Just me? It's easy to go to judgment. We are human, after all. But it is not our job to judge why the kid needs a coat or anything else. We're called to love and to help others feel and experience God's grace and hope. But you have everything that you need because you have faith. It takes showing up with your whole faith, showing up with all of the parts. The leper came to Jesus with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus expects us to show up the same way. We are not perfect. Amen? We are not perfect. And if we go out into the world and act as though we are perfect, the world knows we're not. We have to go with humility, just as the leper did. Humility and gratitude go hand in hand. We have to go with our questions and our curiosity about others. If we aren't curious about our neighbors, how will we ever learn who they are? Not curious in a judgment way, again, curious with a sense of gratitude. God wants our questions. God knows that sometimes we struggle. It's hard to show up. We've already said that. If it's hard for us, imagine how hard it is for someone who doesn't yet know. It's not easy. But when you show up with your whole faith, God does miraculous things. In this jar, we're going to make a mess. In this jar, is, you want to take a guess what's in this jar? Take a guess. You can smell it. There's some flour in there. What else might be in there? Yep, there's some salt in there. Flour, salt. There's one more thing in here. It's cream of tartar. Have you ever heard of that before? Yeah. So, flour. What does flour do? It'll expand, right? Kind of hold. It can hold things together. It works like a glue. Salt. I think the scriptures mention salt a few times, don't they? When Jesus says, be a little salty, he doesn't mean what we know of today as be a little salty. Right? In today's world, be a little salty means you're a little, let's see, what do I want to say? Not so nice, maybe.
Grumpy.
Grumpy. Be a little grumpy. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying to be flavorful, to bring flavor to the world. And cream of tartar kind of sets things up a little bit more. There's hardly any of that in here. But think about you as the body. All of you have different parts and play different parts in this body. Each of you are bringing your whole faith with you as you leave this place. And we know that water changes everything, right? Water changes everything. The baptism waters, it changed everything in our faith. And if you mix that all up, it becomes less powdery, more sticky. Anybody know what I'm making? What? Not quite.
Play-Doh.
It's Play-Doh. Any of you made homemade Play-Doh before? Yeah? Yeah, okay. You might not remember making homemade Play-Doh. My grandma made homemade Play-Doh with me. Partially because I like to put everything in my mouth. So I could eat this and it wouldn't kill me. Might be why I desire salt these days, but I would not suggest you ingest this. But here's the thing about Play-Doh. If we just used one of these things, ingredients, it wouldn't work. We had to use it all. And this is what I think about ministry. Ministry should be fun. We should like it. We should smile when we're engaging other people that are different than us. Because if we go around and we look salty, nobody wants to be a part of that. There are enough Christians on the news shouting at people and judging people and everything else. Fun is not a part of the equation. Just be fun and you'll be different than others. But here's the other thing. Play-Doh, the homemade kind, if it dries out, all you gotta do is to add a little oil. I believe oil is also somewhere in the Bible a few times. And there are times when it gets hard to show up with your whole faith. I mean, it's hard to show up on Sundays sometimes, right? It's hard to remember that, oh yeah, I gotta go to Bible study. Oh yeah, I was supposed to be nice to that person. But you have been anointed for such a time as this. To be here in Xenia at this time, to have the resources that you have, in order to share God's love with the world. Now, this Plato's pretty boring and gross looking, right? You wouldn't necessarily, this wouldn't be inviting to play with, would it? Here's the other thing. When you show up in your community with your whole faith, that's simply all you got to do, is show up with a prayerful attitude of gratitude, because it's Jesus that does the inviting. It's Jesus that seeks the relationship, that guides you, that protects you along the way. And when you remember that Jesus is with you, it's a heck of a lot more inviting than the gloopy, plain, white stuff, right? So you have everything that you need. Will it be easy? Nope. Will it be messy? Yep, it'll be messy. Will it take investment? Yeah. Investment of your time, of your talents, of your prayers, of your resources. I believe those are membership vows, are they not? But you don't go alone. You go with a God who loves you, who has equipped you, and you go with your whole faith. Amen. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward so that they might pass out a little bit of Play-Doh. I want you to take this little bit of Play-Doh in your hands as you get it and kind of squish it, see what it feels like. You can open it, smell it if you'd like. It is homemade Play-Doh, but I do not suggest you ingest it. Oftentimes, we forget, as grown-ups, that we're all children of God. God has designed us for creativity, for having fun. Part of worshiping God is having fun. Having fun with the people that are around you. Having fun in nature. If we aren't happy and we call ourselves Christians and want other people to be like us, who wants to be unhappy? Nobody! Nobody actually wants to be unhappy. Are there times that we are unhappy? Yeah. There are times that we are sad. But the way that we respond to that matters. It matters because people are watching. It matters because you matter. Now, if your Play-Doh dries out, what does it need? A little bit of oil, just a little bit. But I would invite you this week, but as you're praying, you might get it out, roll it between your hands, to remember the acts of faith that have helped you learn and know your faith. when we are grateful for our path, whatever that might be, it is showing others the way, which is not always easy because it's hard to show up sometimes. But just use it as a reminder that your faith matters. Passing on your faith matters because you matter to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you have shown us mercy, and you have met us in the in-between places before our healing was complete. And Lord, we know that our journey here isn't over yet. Help us to see you in others. Give us the courage to return and give thanks to you, to speak truth, and to claim our place in your mission. May our faith move us, our gratitude ground us, and our love make us whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now stand as we're able and sing our closing hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you.
Again, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining in worship this morning, for bringing your whole self and your whole faith. Now go with that same whole self and your whole faith, knowing that God goes with you, before you, and after you. All you got to do is show up. Amen and amen.